Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Peak A-League podcast for another week. I'm your host, Gerald Lynch, and we're back in the home studio today, so not sure if it sounds too different. I've got a decent little mic here, but the uni studio is a bit more comfortable. It was soundproof, so a bit less echoey, I'd say, but couldn't really be bothered going in just for this one today. First of all, obviously, there's no Danny Townsend here. I worked out with him to actually get it for next week instead, where, leading into round one, and we can ask him some questions about the season as well. So that was originally what I wanted, and then it seemed like his management were going to push it to this week, but we managed to sort it out. So that'll be recorded next Tuesday and put out probably either Tuesday or Wednesday next week. But if you've been living under a rock and you've missed on Twitter this morning, there's a very good new podcast that's dropped as well. I'll give it a little plug first. The Golden Generation, hosted by Kick360. Hosted by Harper Pessinger with Tom Williams, Lucas Ronaldo, and Pat Bruschetto. I'll be jumping on there as well myself throughout the season. Couldn't get on this week, but very good podcast, lighthearted as well. Goes for about an hour or so, and going to rival some other, top podcasts with 4 or 5 members every week. It's going to be a really exciting show, and can't wait for you guys to listen to that one as well, especially as the season goes on. But if you've got nothing else to do, or you've got to travel or something, that's going to be an hour of very easy listening for you. Now, moving on, today what we will cover is the Socceroos' performances on the weekend, a little bit of A-League news we've had during the week, the Australia Cup final, and a potential superstar host, or not host, but podcast member who was giving me a snub over the week. So we'll get into all of that. We'll start off with the Socceroos. Of course, they played twice during the last week. First one was Thursday, and then they played again on Sunday. So Thursday was in Brisbane, played pretty much that full-strength lineup. It was Ryan, Karacic, Sainsbury, Degenek, Bejic, Moy, Irvine, Rustich, Boyle, Taggart, Mabil. So it was a 1-0 win, a goal from Mabil, which was an absolute screamer. I mean, he needs to be starting there on that left wing. Come November, when we play in Qatar, he's probably one of the best players that we've got in that squad at the moment. The midfield is locked in, especially if Moy can continue getting minutes at Celtic and maybe start starting soon or something. But either way, he has to be included in that starting 11. He's way too good. Jackson Irvine's playing phenomenal football. He was great on Thursday as well. And then Rustich is solid too. Taggart, I don't really like. I'd like to see Cummings start, or maybe McLaren. Even Duke was an absolute workhorse on Sunday, but we'll get to that a bit later. Taggart for me just isn't a threat. When I watch him, I just think you're never going to score a goal at a World Cup. I just can't see it. The back four was a bit questionable. How badly do we need Harry Soutar right now? And Kyle Rouse, it'd be great to have them both, because Sainsbury and Degenek, they're showing their age, and I don't know if they're quite up to the level anymore. Bejic was okay. Karacic wasn't very good. So hoping Atkinson can break in, but I suppose it depends on his club performances as well, which haven't been great lately. But the win was okay. We didn't get to see, obviously, a lot of the guys that we really wanted to. No Cummings, because he, peak of the week moment here, he lost his passport right before the game or something and couldn't play. So that's why he didn't play any minutes or wasn't even on the bench for that first friendly. But moving on to Sunday, this was the exciting one because we got to see some new players that we hadn't seen before in a Socceroos kit, and they won 2-0. So Australia made 11 changes to starting 11. New Zealand made like 3 or something. So it was still a pretty strong lineup, and Australia went bang 2-0. To be fair, it was a really tough first half, but New Zealand was playing 5 at the back. That was a really defensive game from them. So Australia did well. Dalbridge actually impressed me with his work. Deng was pretty good. And then, yeah, Atkinson was a lot better than Karacic for me. King was quite good as well. The midfield of Metcalf and John Rowe and McGree worked pretty well. Question marks for me around John Rowe, but Metcalf was really good, so that was good to see. He'll definitely be valuable off the bench at times, or if we get an injury or something, which we probably will at some point. Tilio missed that sitter, but other than that, he actually had a really good game, in my opinion, and he has to be included. There's talks of Arzani coming on the trip, and would that mean Tilio's spot's gone? To be honest, it might, and I think if that's the case, you just couldn't do it. Lecky was all right. But, he's old. He's moving on. Duke scored a nice goal. Cummings scored the penalty. Quoll came on and was phenomenal. And special shout-out to Mitch Langerak. Poor bloke. Came out of retirement to go and sit and watch 2 games of football from the sideline. What was the point of that? They could have just taken, like, Joe Gauchy or someone young and given them an experience. Dragged Langerak out from somewhere in Asia, wherever he's playing, and made him watch Ryan and Redmayne play those two games. But to be fair, Redmayne probably deserved a game as well. Anyway, two performances that obviously showed us that we're not, like, miracles happen, yes, but are they, like, I don't have a lot of faith after watching those games against New Zealand, for going into Qatar, going into France. I think we can beat Tunisia. I think that's probably about it. But you never know what these guys can produce. But yeah, I thought we didn't learn as much as probably I would hoped, or I didn't learn anything new from those two games. But they were both sort of entertaining. And at least we didn't concede any goals, I guess, was the biggest positive. Now, moving on to the Australia Cup game this weekend. Plenty to talk about there. It's Sydney United versus MacArthur. At the time of recording, the game's at CommBank Stadium, obviously, there has been 10,000 tickets sold. Now, there was a graphic last week, or like a screenshot put out from Ticketek, where it was like the whole Sydney United end was sold out. Turns out it was just two bays, and then the rest of their behind the goals is like GA that just hadn't been released yet. Now, I would assume that those bays have sold out because every Sydney United fan has bought tickets in those two bays, which is obviously fair enough and great, but people were really crapping on MacArthur. To be fair, there's still active tickets available for them, none for Sydney United, but I feel like Sydney United have definitely packed themselves into that one area. It will be interesting, though. I expect MacArthur to get outnumbered. They are obviously a very new club compared to Sydney United, but still, they're in the A-League and they need to show up here. 10,000 tickets, I'd say so far that's about a 7,000 Sydney United, 2,000 MacArthur, 1,000 neutral, if I had to guess, because Sydney United have got a few fans. They got 3,500 to their semi-final against Brisbane, so surely they'd be able to probably double that for the final. They'll get everybody out there, all the family and friends and everything of the club would be there. This is huge for Sydney United, and I genuinely think that they're a chance. They've knocked off a couple of A-League opponents, Western United and Brisbane Roar, on the way to the final. MacArthur have looked good too, you know, and they've got some good players in there. Really excited to see Daniel Arzani on a somewhat big stage again. I'm tipping MacArthur 3-0 because of the way that they walk through Oakley Cannons. I don't really think that Sydney can do it again, but you never know. The big stage might be a little too much for them, but in saying that, it might be a little much for MacArthur. I don't know if they've ever played in front of 10,000 people before, so the game will be very good. Excited for it, definitely. It's on Saturday? Saturday, I believe. The 1st of October, yeah, Saturday. So yeah, should be a really good match. Cannot wait. It's been a great Australia Cup. I think it's been a really good way to fill the off season, having all these games on it. It's been great that we've had so many cup sets as well, and seeing two NPL teams in the semi-finals was a big highlight. And yeah, can't wait for that one. Tipping MacArthur 3-0, but you just never know. Now the podcast host that has snubbed me a little bit. Not to be rude, not to be anything, but I spoke about last week, my dream podcast, or not host, like just, you know, guest, whatever, Archie Thompson, would love to have him on. I sent the man a heartfelt Twitter DM last week, and I've just received nothing. Has he tweeted since? I don't know, actually. Has he liked tweets since? Yes, he has. The man's been active, not responding to my DM. I mean, you've got him open, Archie. What for, if you're not going to respond? He was at the season launch yesterday, and it looked like his phone was working, so I don't know what the issue is, Archie. Get on that phone, text me back. Even if it's a no, I just want to hear from you. You know, it's killing me. The suspense is killing me. But a massive week for news in the A-League. Obviously, we had the season launch yesterday, and heaps of great stuff came out of it. The A-League's Access All Areas got announced, a 30-minute program that will be broadcast onto YouTube once a week, and it's sort of going to be like a documentary-style thing, but it's going to be live, obviously, so whatever happens on the weekend, we're going to see it on, I think, Tuesdays or something, it comes out. It's going to be following Garan Kuol, Paddy Cisnorbo. I'm just never prepared, I'm sorry. It was Charlie Austin's the other one. I think there was one more, maybe a victory thing or something like that. Anyway, it's going to be super exciting. Can't wait for it. I love all those documentaries. Like, the All or Nothings are great. I love the AFL one that Amazon did, although it was a little bit cringe at times. It was pretty exciting. So that's going to be really awesome. Tomorrow, Sydney's documentary comes out. That'll be great. It covers the men's and women's. It looks like we get a lot of really good behind-the-scenes stuff. Unfortunately, they didn't have a very good season, but maybe that'll add to the drama and whatnot. Hoping to really see some good Steve Corica sprays and everything like that. But yeah, this Access All Areas show looks brilliant. I can't wait to ask Danny Townsend about that next week, where the idea came from, and exactly what it's going to look like. One of my favorite things as well from the little snippet that we got was, so Garron Quall and Jason Cummings are in the press conference with Graham Arnold, and Garron Quall says, oh, you know, I want to inspire young kids to dream, sky's the limit, whatever. Straight after the interview, Graham Arnold's pulled him out and gone, mate, you've achieved nothing, yeah? Just keep a lid on it, sort of thing. And Quall just goes, what? Well, he's like, huh? So, interesting to see how that one boils over. Look, Jason Cummings is there too. I'm sure if Arnie got too angry with Quall, that Cummings would step in for him and they'd get it sorted. But, yeah, Quall was brilliant on the weekend, and I'm sure he's going to have a really great season. The other thing that we got was the A-League's fantasy thing, which is essentially a reskin of the sports deck, I think it was called, game that we had last year. But now it's officially sponsored by Keep Up. We've got player faces on the shirt, like on the app and everything. It looks really good. It looks really exciting. I haven't made a league yet, but I might soon. My team, Craig Badloss, is looking pretty good. I was very good at this game last year. Only a couple of thousand people played it. But in goal, we've got Paul Izzo. In the defense, we've got Garuccio and LaCroix, which is risky because having two defenders from the same team can be a little bit risky. But I'm going to risk it because they're the 1-0 Kings. Adama Traore and Alex Wilkinson. Guy was cheap. I sort of had to do it. Craig Goodwin, of course, is in the team. 545,000. He's that much more expensive, like 100,000 more than the next most expensive player. Steve Lustiger, Reno Piscopo, Mustafa Amini, Charlie Austin, Nick D'Agostino up front. Then on the bench, we've got some keeper from Western Sydney, Warshaw or something. Jack Hinger, Jairus Katardis, Cassini Yenge. If you've got a better team than that, let me know, because I don't think you do. This team is absolute meta. Garuccio, Goodwin are going to be huge. Charlie Austin's going to be banging him in every week. Paul Izzo at 205K. Absolute bargain. Yeah, I'll be joining those leagues soon. I think A-League Memes made a big one. I might make a league or a group or something to get people in and maybe try and sort out a prize for it. But yeah, really excited that they've done that. And as I'm going to point out to Danny Townsend next week, people always make fun of him for saying, oh, you know, keep an eye out or keep the faith or soon, coming soon, whatever. But all of a sudden, a week out from the league, we've got a fantasy game, we've got a brand new show, we've got the Sydney documentary coming out, we've got Paramount Plus discounts being rolled out to members, although they're not great, they're not huge, but there's definitely something there for everyone to enjoy, and I think the hype levels for the season has just gone up a notch massively. Ultra Football did a great job yesterday with the A-League season launch. They got some big players out there, which was awesome. And I think, you know, they had Charlie Austin, Jason Cummings, Nani was there, Diamante was there. So they didn't send just random players. They sent the big fish. And I'm sure there'll be plenty more content to come out from that as well. Interestingly as well, Billy from F2 was there, which was a little bit strange. I know he was at Ultra Football a couple of months ago doing some stuff. I'll be interested to know how much he was paid to do some skills with Nani and whatnot and fly down to Australia, because he was just playing in the Sidemen charity match on the weekend, so it was a quick turnaround. But yeah, hopefully that does enough to boost the A-League forward. They've got a goal of 10,000, an average crowd of 10,000 this year. While I love the aspiration, that's just not happening, right? Perth are playing out of a stadium that fits 5,000. Adelaide is one of the best crowds in the league. They get 8,000 or 9,000. So obviously relying on Western Sydney to get more fans back in, Sydney to get more fans. I think they'd be aiming for sort of 12,000 to 15,000, but with the ticket price they got for round one, I don't know if that's realistic. But, you know, Sydney hit 3,000 last year for a game against Melbourne City. I remember that was when I realised things were getting really bad for them. But surely this new stadium will drag people in. The Wanderers are looking great. Victory will obviously have big crowds. City might have a bit bigger. Can Western pick themselves out of sort of the 2,000, 3,000 lull? Same with MacArthur. Everyone's going to need to improve to hit that 10,000. Brisbane are going to need to draw some big crowds in at their Suncorp games. They play MacArthur in round one at Suncorp. I reckon they'd be hoping for 15, 20,000, surely. Otherwise, why would you host the game there instead of Redcliffe? Like, I know the distance and everything is what's been stopping people from getting out to Redcliffe, but you'd have to think you're going to be selling quite a few tickets to book a game at Suncorp. I thought they were going to save it for, like, the bigger teams who are going to have travelling fans and stuff, but they've gone for round one against MacArthur. Maybe the scheduling hasn't done them any favours there, but 10,000, let me know what you guys think. I just don't think it's feasible. Apparently, the average last year was like 5.5. Now, we had a few games with no crowds and stuff because, like, Perth wasn't playing in Perth and Wellington wasn't playing in Wellington, and all of that, and some of the time slots were shocking. So I think a more realistic goal, like what they will hit, is probably about 8, 8.5. I think if we can get that, we can be happy and know that the game's heading back in the right direction. But also, we're going to have that boost from the World Cup when the football, when the A-League comes back during the quarterfinals of the World Cup. So surely during then, we'll get a few more people into the stands. It'll be summery weather, really nice. And I think that's a perfect time to be getting those bigger crowds in. That'll boost up the smaller numbers. But I still think 10,000 is just a little bit too high. But yeah, let me know what you think. That is it, really. We've rushed through with no games to review, no games to preview, other than those couple of Socceroos in the cup match. I've really got nothing else for you. So get on to Archie Thompson if you want to get behind me, and tell him, get back to Gerald about that DM, because he would love his time on the Pick Addict podcast, make no mistake. And if you've got anyone else, because I'm kind of trying to think of other guests at the moment, but struggling a little bit. Yeah, that is all, really. Nice short episode for maybe a little bus ride or something. And yeah, I'll see you next week for the big one with Danny Townsend. It will be next week, I can promise you. And yeah. Oh, B-Real's just gone off. All right, catch you guys later.